Hello. Let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for encouraging all your people. It's a time of darkness, but you're the light. So we thank you for the light, that we walk on the light. We thank you for lifting heavy hearts, for healing brokenhearted people. And we just give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Amen. You can open your Bibles. We're not going to get there right away, but to Galatians chapter 6. And there's a captain, and he was in his first battleship. So think about this. This is a captain. It's his first ship. And he spotted a light in the darkness of night coming towards him. And the captain radioed, "Alter your course 10 degrees. The reply came back very swiftly, "No, you." Angrily, the captain barked, "Alter your course, alter your course, alter your course." And then he said, "I am a destroyer." The reply came back quickly, "Alter your course, I am a lighthouse." We need to do the adjusting. In Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Doesn't matter what the culture's doing. Doesn't matter what the latest thing is. Jesus is the same, and we have to do the altering, right? Because he is the lighthouse. I like that story. He's not changing, so we have to. In Isaiah 53, in verse 6, it says, "All we like sheep." He always talks about us being like sheep. And he gives us a symbol that, you know, he is the Lamb of God. And that sheep are pure, they're innocent, but also they have some characteristics that are not good. And then he said he's going to separate the sheep, which are his people, from the goats. And the goats represent the rebellious, the stubborn, the unteachable. But here, he's liking us unto, he's symbolizing that we're like sheep. And we're going to go through a couple characteristics of sheep. "They've all gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him," or it's talking about Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." In Psalms 119 in verse 176, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." And all through the scriptures you'll see the psalmist and different things talking about sheep, how we're likened unto sheep. And one of the very first things why we need a shepherd is because sheep lack direction. And there's a true story about Eastern Turkey that I've shared years ago, and I found some of my notes about this, and it's so true about sheep. They follow who is ever leading them, even if it's off a cliff. In Eastern Turkey, there was 1,500 unattended sheep that fell off a cliff while the shepherds were eating breakfast far away from the flock. And the first 400, they died, they fell to their death in the ravine. And then about 1,100, the ones that were left, were saved. They fell on those sheep. They were like Charmin. They fell. And they were comforted. They didn't die because it was a good cushion. But it just shows you that they just kept following. And they just followed them right off a cliff. And it's kind of true how sheep are, Christians are, that we follow people. Someone that I love dearly was telling me, they just said, "Well, I hear there's false teachers, but I don't know any. And I know where she goes to church. I know everything about what she's listening to." And I was like, all she's listening to are false teachers, but she doesn't know it. The name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, all that stuff that's taken us away from the true gospel and brought us into a whole realm of narcissism and selfishness and covetousness and greed. And unfortunately, we like sheep have followed many of those teachers, but God's waking up his bride, I believe. If you're hungry and thirsty to know truth, it's a day your eyes are going to be opened if you want it. And then another funny story, it's about a farmer, and he said he had a whole bunch of sheep in his barn. So he stretched a rope across the door, and so to get out, the first few sheep jumped over the rope. Well, then he cut the rope, and then the rest of them just kept jumping because the other ones did. Even though there was no rope there, they saw the other ones do it, so they jumped over the invisible rope that was no longer there. So it's funny how sheep follow sheep sometimes. They just do what other, it's like the mob instinct. And it happens so much in churches. And it's so sad. I was reading about a situation of preachers are getting found out that are have been abusing, sexually doing things. It's just sad. And how they use the name of God and they use prophecies to lead women. Different things. I was reading it last night and I just thought, this is such a sad hour. I mean, I'm sure this has always happened, but it's being exposed now on a level that has never happened. And we aren't to follow other Christians, we're to follow Jesus. Because if you're following man, you're going to stumble and fall. No man is perfect. And many people get in the ministry for the wrong reasons, their plants, their fronts, different things. And maybe they just have, you know, a big lust problem or they're power hungry or whatever. But we can't get our eyes on man. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the only one that's without spot or wrinkle. So God compares us to sheep because sometimes we follow someone who's leading us in the wrong direction. Or we can act fearful. Sheep are very fearful. And that's one of the things in the book of Revelations. He talks about those that are going to make it to the end are the ones that are not fearful. And that's what the enemy uses, is torment and fear. Like never before on the news, just this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And a lot of us have just tuned out. We're just like, now we know that their whole ploy, their whole agenda is to get you afraid and then comply, right? So we don't want to act like those kind of sheep. Matthew 9:36, Jesus saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. That's one thing. When ministers or people, even yourself, if we're not moved with compassion, there's something wrong with us. And this is what the enemy wants. He wants everyone divided, everyone fighting, everyone offended. And there's so many things that really don't matter. It's like, are you going to let that subject cause division, or are you going to die on that hill? There are some things that are worth dying, but most of these things that we're fighting over aren't worth it. He was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep that had no shepherd. And because sheep have no sense of direction, they need a shepherd to guide them, to lead them, to protect them. And we're the same. We need our shepherd. He is our shepherd and we shall not want, we shall not lack, because he's with us no matter what, through our trials, through the storms, through whatever we're going through. He said, I'm never going to leave you and forsake you. Even though there are times you feel like he has, and there's times you don't get your prayer answered, and sometimes you look back and you go, thank God I didn't get that prayer answered. Because at the time you thought that was something that you needed, that you wanted, that you had to have, and now you look back and you just say, wow, I would have went off in a ditch. That would have not been good for me, even though I thought it was. The shepherd knows. So sheep, another thing about sheep, they're easy prey. So they don't have sharp teeth. They don't have claws. They don't have speed. And they don't roar to scare off the prey. They can kick. They can run in herds and stick together. But basically they have no defense. And that's why he is our defense. There used to be a song we used to sing, you are my defense, he's our defense. And when we feel like we have to be our own defense and we have to make excuses and do all, just remember he is our defense. We can rest. There's a lot of people that aren't going to know your story. They don't understand your part of the story. They maybe heard another story, but God knows your story. He knows the whole bit of your testimony, and he is our defense, right? And we need his protection. Another thing that happens with sheep, and this happens to us as well, they get cast down. That means that they fall and their feet go right up in the air and they can't get up. And they call it, oh, the sheep got cast down. And sometimes our soul gets cast down. Sometimes we get, you know, for whatever reason, the sorrow that we're seeing, or the grief, the suffering that we're seeing, the loss of lives that we're seeing, someone dies in your life, and the grief and the sorrow is almost to the point where you just thought, if I didn't have the Lord, I don't know how people make it through these hard seasons. But we get cast down, and a sheep can die that way. If they don't have a shepherd that comes with their staff and gets them on the right their feet, they can actually die. And that's why a lot of people, I think, they aren't letting the shepherd help their heart, because they're offended, they're bitter, they're angry. And many of us have come out of the movements that we've come out of. We can't be bitter. We have to say, God's going to use this for his glory. There's people that I'm going to help through what I've gone through. Just like Joseph told his brothers when they betrayed him, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And we have to keep that attitude, because there's many times we can be cast down, we can be offended, and we have to constantly guard our heart. And that's one of the things I learned when we had really big ministry, is you can't allow yourself to be offended at people, because they're coming to church there and you have to preach to them, and you have to constantly adjust, because the lighthouse doesn't move. So you have to. We have to constantly adjust to obstacles, offenses. It's just like when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that God can forgive you. So is it worth it? Is it worth it to have a bitter heart and an unforgiving heart, which causes a lot of health problems, by the way? A lot of people, you can put on their tombstone, died of bitterness because they were so angry. But a positive side of sheep, they recognize the voice of their shepherd. And he said that we know his voice, and the voice of a stranger we shall not follow. And sometimes you're listening to something, or you've been sitting under a minister, and there's just something, you just kind of go, I don't know, that doesn't feel right. You know, and how many times have we ignored that little, still small voice that's telling you that's wrong? To me, when we'd go on these big pastors' conventions and stuff, these leaders would all get up and try to make you give, and they force you to give. And they'd say, all the pastors that are giving, come up on the stage. All you that are giving this, 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 and this. And it was just like a total manipulation. And my spirit would just go, no, this is wrong. Bible says give in secret, right? Not that you always have to, but that's our motive, is to let God see it. Not to do it before men, because if you just do things before men, that is your reward. So they recognize the voice of the shepherd. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And sometimes our simple prayer has to be, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you in what I eat, what I take, what I drink, what's good for me, what's not good for me. I follow you. In every area of our life, he's there to lead us and to guide us. And then I think now we need to pray for friends. Lord, give us friends that will not betray us in this hour. Give us friends that will stick closer than a brother. Because a lot of you have lost your family, lost people for different things, drugs. So many Christians now are really not living for the Lord. They're back in the world because they got hurt in the church. And abused in the church, but that's no reason to stop following the shepherd, right? Sheep cannot carry things. Camels can carry things. They can carry loads, but you don't see a sheep running around with a big backpack, because they aren't meant to carry things, and neither are we. We're supposed to cast all our cares on him. We are not called to carry, we can't carry things. And the burdens of this world and the way the world is going, it's almost unbearable. Sometimes I just unplug. I was just like, I hit a wall. I don't want to hear one more negative thing. I don't want to hear one more bad thing. I'm just going to shut everything off and live in my little zone. Do you know what I mean? because we can't carry things. And there's some things we cannot change. We can be informed. We can be prepared. But there's some things, because there is a devil loose, and there's some things we can't change. But we have to adjust. Keep adjusting to that lighthouse. Keep making sure that we guard our heart with all diligence. Make sure that we have a conscience that's void of offense. And that's, I was listening to one of the people that I listen to health-wise, and she no longer lives in America. Her license was taken away because she refused to follow the rules of what they were telling her because her conscience was leading her in a different direction. She said a lot of doctors will say, I'll give you this, but I won't take it myself. And I won't even go into all the details. But she said, I can't do that. If I can't take it in good health, I can't give it to one of my patients. And as a result, she got her license taken away. And she said, I'd never, ever go back because my dad told me, you can lie to mom, you can lie to dad, but you cannot lie to yourself. So part of the problem is when we're giving advice for people, but we're not doing it ourselves, it causes you to be conflicted. And eventually it causes you to get sick because you are living a double life. And so we're supposed to be true to ourselves, right? So we're not called to carry things. Camels, but not sheep. We're not meant to either. We're to give him our heavy loads so that he can carry them for us. Psalms 55:22. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Not like what these sustainable goals are and what they're telling you in the world, what is sustainable and what isn't, which is it's a trap, it's a lie, it's deception. But Jesus will sustain us. No matter what happens, we've all been through. I look back at my life and I go, I can't believe I'm still here. How about you guys? Can't believe I'm still here. And still love the Lord because he's unshakable. And as long as we attach ourselves to him and adjust and readjust, the obstacles come, sorrows come, things happen. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. He will sustain us. And we have to hold our ground. We can't compromise. When you know something is wrong, we have to stand our ground. And that doesn't mean you go and offend other people or are obnoxious and are haughty. You think you have a little more information than other people. God can knock that off of us real quick. But we're called to be humble. And that's the difference between sheep and goats. The sheep symbolizes humility, submission. The goats, rebellion, stubbornness. It's funny because my grandma, on my mom's side, her mother, had goats. She raised goats and goat milk and all that. I don't remember a lot of it. I was pretty little. But he's talking about goats in a sense, the wild goats, the bad goats. And I think about the world and they always go, oh, he's a goat, the greatest of all time. Why did they have to use that word? Why couldn't they? Because they're goats. They're following. A lot of them are following, the God of this world. But we have to hold our ground, and he will sustain us. Sometimes, he said, I'll meet your needs according to my riches and glory. Not every want and every desire we have, but we believe that if we need it, he's going to meet it, right? So when sheep are thirsty, another thing that they do, they will stop at any dirty puddle right in front of them. Instead of going to the clean water like 20 feet away, they just settle in on the first thing, and they don't realize that they're content with filth and they stink. And that's what happens when we settle for the puddles of sin in our life. We're just like, well, it seems like it's a good thing right now. I'm going to enjoy it while it lasts. I know it's wrong. I know my conscience tells me not to do it, but I want it right now. And that's what happens, why people get into so much debt, just overspending. I knew this one lady, she'd get on this TV, I forget what, she'd buy everything off the TV and go into debt every month and just pay the minimal, and then the next month she'd go into debt again. That catches up with you. And it was stuff that She was buying that she didn't need, but it was meeting a need, she thought, in her life, but it was really becoming an addiction. So sometimes we end up, because it's looking good, that sin looks good, and it might be fun for a season. It might really seem enjoyable for a season. But then afterwards, all of Satan's apples have worms, right? And I think about a lot of my classmates more. Well, we've had a lot of people die in the last month, even from my school. But a lot of them were drinkers and drug addicts. Even back in the day, they hadn't changed any. And then I run into them, and their body's falling apart. Everything about them is, but they're still drinking. They still have their happy hour every single day. And you don't realize your body wasn't created for that. You can't process it. And as a result of these dirty puddles, people shorten their lives, right? So we too went for dirty puddles in our life. And then we stink. We're poisoned and we stink. Just like they were in these dirty puddles and they stunk. They didn't even know they stunk. And when you're in sin, when we're in sin, we stink. We don't even know it. We're annoying. We're arrogant. We're haughty. We're deceived. And we stink. Just thought I'd lighten you up a little bit. We don't know sometimes what's always good for us. Shepherds have a knack for getting dirty. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, is a rhyme. It was a house pet. True sheep are like walking Velcro strips. Everything sticks to their fur, everything, and they're filthy. And that's kind of what happens with us, is that we walk through this world and we ended up getting dirty. We ended up needing a savior. There's some positive things about sheep, but I'm not going to go into that right now. They're good for milk, meat, wool, but sheep need a shepherd to take care of them, especially with their wounds. They can't heal themselves. And when they get parasites, they'd have to go into these oil and they'd get dipped in there, and there's different things that they had to do. The shepherd had to do it because the sheep can't do it for themselves. And there's times we're wounded, and there's times we're brokenhearted. One of my friends, her daughter wouldn't talk to him, and I've been praying for her heart to get healed, and her daughter called her now, and she's so happy. It's like God healed that heart. But there's so many things in the world that can break your heart, but we have to go to him to heal our heart. Heal our wounds, Lord. We need you to heal our wounds and restore our soul and sustain us. And he said he heals the brokenhearted and he bandages their wounds. In Psalms 147:3, sometimes we have to just pray, Lord, heal my heart. Help! We've gotten so religious with prayers, but realize God just is looking for us to call out to him. We don't have to get all religious. Just, you know, pray. Pray without ceasing. So sheep symbolize gentleness and purity and innocence. But they're walking Velcro strips. Walking, everything clings to it, manure. And we're the same way with offenses. People can offend us. Today, everybody is worried about offending everyone but God. And it's just like you're almost afraid to talk about things at a gathering because you can't even give your opinion anymore, because it's either you agree with this agenda or, you know, the mob is going for the agendas. Sometimes it's better to say nothing. Sometimes the best response at a sometimes is to say nothing. And then let's look at Galatians chapter 6. I dug out one of my old notes. This is about goats. We don't want to be like goats. And I think there's a little goat in all of us. We have to walk with Jesus to get the goat out. But God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. And these notes are so old that it's hard to even read them. But the characteristics of pride, and remember, the goats represent pride, which is Satan. Lucifer is full of pride, and that's how he fell. Self-sufficiency. When we're in pride, we don't think we need others. Satan fell from heaven because he felt he didn't need God. Think about that. He had everything. and he didn't want it. You can't even wrap your head around being in the presence of God and all the angels, and yet he didn't want to be number two. He wanted to be number one. No yielding to others, this independent spirit, no submission to others, self-sufficient. The spirit of pride is self-sufficient. We're supposed to be humble, ask for help when we need it, ask for prayer when we need it, humble ourselves. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. In other words, he gives you no help. You're on your own when you don't humble yourself. Goats represent self-righteousness. What's that? It feels like everybody else is at fault, needs to change, but not me. A proud person never judges himself and looks within. Is my tone off? Can I hurt people with how I'm saying this? Do you ever put yourself in other people's shoes? Proud people don't. They just blast it and deal with it. That's very arrogant. Can you imagine Jesus being like that? Proud people don't look at their flaws. They don't judge themselves. They don't see their blind spots. That's why we are to judge ourselves. We're supposed to own our part, take responsibility. There are things we've done wrong. And to own our part, there's freedom in it. There's freedom in it. Rather than blaming everyone else, you never grow. Blamers never grow because they'll just blame the next person. They'll never deal with the root of the problem, which is them. Goat pride represents, or they resent, the role of a learner. When someone's humble, they're hungry, they're teachable. You just love to be around them because they want to learn, they want to grow. There's something that really I've learned to just detest, and that's people that have to be the smartest in the room. They won't let anyone else talk. They won't let anyone else have an opinion. It's a know-it-all spirit. That's just a spirit of pride. Not only does God resist them, but when people act that way, there's something that you don't want to be around them either. Because they hate to learn. They think they know it all. They resent the role of a learner. They're unable to receive correction. They find it too difficult to say, I was wrong, forgive me. And they just blame. And what does that mean? It makes people responsible for why they're going through something, rather than, Lord, it's me. You know, I'm the one in need of prayer here. That's just the difference between a proud person and a humble person. And who do you want to be around? Who do you want to be like? The proud won't admit their faults and they won't make changes. So a lot of times a proud person, they have the same problem 5 years from now, 10 years, because they never make any changes. They don't adjust to the lighthouse, like what we were talking about earlier. They don't make any adjustments. They expect everyone to adjust to them. Well, God doesn't adjust to us. We have to adjust to him, and his word's never going to change. So when we read it, we have to adjust to that word. He's not going to adjust to us. Well, they were mean to me. Doesn't matter. You still forgive. That means to let it drop. Let it go. Proud do everything for selfish reasons. They demand it their own way. They will not submit. They are unwilling to adjust and adapt with others. Like that lighthouse. That captain thought that, boy, I see a light and I'm this big ship and they're going to have to move. Realize that, hey, they're the lighthouse. You're going to have to move. And that's how God is in our life. So the culture's crazy. Doesn't mean we have to submit to that. This is what the whole thing of the world is going in the days of Noah. The Bible says it's going to be as the days of Noah. And that's craziness happening on steroids. In closing here, pride looks down on others. They ignore people. They snub people. They judge people. This is the thing. When you've got a talent, you have got to, first of all, remember, God gave you that talent. And not to put others down that don't have that talent. Well, I just don't like dumb people. Well, you're dumb in some area. Nobody has it all. So we're supposed to submit to one another. I can learn from you. You can learn from her. We can learn together. But when some person, when they think they have it all, that's an arrogant spirit. So you get that gift, but you're using it in the wrong way. You're using it to serve yourself and to make other people despise. Well, you know, you're just not as good as a decorator as I am. Well, they don't have that gift. What gift do they have? Acknowledge what they can do, rather than that's such an arrogant thing. I think that's one of the things why I said last week, I don't want titles. I've seen people in different places when I'd go to, and I am this, you have to call me this. I'm this person, I'm this title, I'm this and that. And then it despised everyone else. It made them feel like they were above everyone else. Well, guess what? The blood of Jesus makes us all the same size. And I came from a multicultural church, and I'd do funerals, and I'd say, turn around and shake hands. We're saved by the blood of Jesus. We're saved by grace, not by race. And the blood of Jesus makes us all the same size. There are no big, but in the world there is. It's like these titles and these robes and these hats and all the things that they do. Looks down on others. In closing too, I want to turn to Galatians 6. And one of the keys to humility, how do you keep yourself humble? Be like these sheep. How do I humble myself? Don't forget your testimony. All of it. There are parts you've never shared with people that you've done, but God knows. There's sometimes you just have to say, you know, if it weren't for the grace of God, I'd be that drug addict. If it weren't for the grace of God, I'd be that alcoholic. I'd be this, I'd be that. But thank you, Lord, for the grace. And thank you for rescuing me when I was in this dark place. And we've all had different parts. So what keeps you humble is just saying, thank you, Lord. You know my testimony. And I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony that if it weren't for you, if it weren't for your grace, who knows where I'd be. That keeps you humble. And then how do you help others? Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, destroy. Tell everybody. Get online. No, it says what? Restore. Why don't we see more relationships healed? Because there's not spiritual people among us. If you're spiritual and you have an ought against your brother, the Bible says we're supposed to make it as far as within our own heart to be at peace. We are supposed to make that right. So if a man be overtaken in a fault or a sin, you found someone in a dirty puddle and they stink. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Why? That could have been me. That could have happened to me. Maybe if I was born in the same household that they were. I'm thinking of someone that was beat by their dad all the time, and they did some terrible things in their life. They repented, but they made a lot of bad mistakes. You can't judge that person. Only God knows the whole story and the choices that they made and why they made them. God knows the heart. We do not know the heart. So you which are spiritual, restore. How can I restore that person? There's a lot of people, you know, sometimes you're around people, other people's relatives, you aren't real thrilled with them, but you know that's what you need to do. You need to walk in love, and you need to, you know, as they age, a lot of people lose their filters and they start doing weird things, saying weird things. Your flesh would rather not even be around them. But sometimes you're supposed to be. And you have to forgive. And you have to be humble. And you have to do what you can. Restore them in the spirit of meekness. Sometimes, considering yourself, lest thou also be what? Tempted. Sometimes you judge someone for the very thing you're doing yourself. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, here we go with the pride again, being a big old goat, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. constantly staying in those muddy puddles, constantly having an unteachable spirit, having to be the smartest in the room, cutting people down, you're not going to have any friends. Because people know if you're slamming them behind their back, they're going to slam you behind your back as well. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Not every season is a reaping season. Sometimes we go through times and you're like, is anybody listening? And then, like today, we got some letters in the mail. It's like, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was a long period where I don't hear anything from anybody. I don't know if they're messing with my emails. I don't know, but what I do is I just put my head down, walk through the storm, do everything as unto the Lord. Lord, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to follow you. Because basically, that's what we have to do. Are we following the Lord? Are we doing what he wants us to do? There's a lot of things I did not sign up for. And one of the things is preaching on the end times. Probably the least thing. I love preaching on, you guys that have known me for years, I like to talk about healing the wounded. I like to talk about different things that can restore. I didn't want to talk about warnings, but I didn't get to say, oh yeah. I didn't sign up for it. But because I'm a Christian and I have to obey the Lord, we all have to do what he's asking us to do. Sometimes it's not what our flesh wants. If we do it, God will reward us. Maybe sometimes we might not even see. I know there's people I'm going to see in heaven that got delivered from the Word of Faith and the NAR teachings. I've gotten some letters just lately, the last couple weeks. I was like, awesome. Just listening to that one YouTube set them out of that ditch. That is so rewarding for me. That's my reward, is to obey the Lord and do what he's asked us to do. And he's asked us all to do different things. But whatever gift he's given you, stay humble with it. Because there's nothing worse than someone that has a gift and they flaunt and they brag and then they put everyone else down. People might not say anything, but they think you're a goat. I had to leave it with a little humor. Father, we thank you. You're our shepherd. You lead us. You guide us. You're guiding us through these times. Help us, guide us, lead us, protect us. Thank you for fresh water. Thank you for green grass. Keep us away from the deceivers, the wolves, the bad teachings. Help us not be deceived. And we thank you, Father, that we hear your voice, and the voice of a stranger we're not going to follow. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, and on the Living in His Presence Church website, where you can access the messages on the top center of the main webpage. There are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer-supported. On the main webpage, at the top right, is a Give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.